This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. A happy Ash Wednesday to you. If you are participating today, Carl Middleman, I'm assuming you will not be taking part in the drive-through Ash Wednesday ceremonies I heard about on the news this morning.
One of the 15-minute noon services around town.
Okay. All right.
They know, the priests know that people are at the
in a hurry.
They're on their lunch break, more than likely, and so they make mass really quick.
Wow. That's good. They kind of condense things for you.
Yes.
So they could do that on a regular basis.
They could.
Because I've been to a few Catholic weddings that took a long time.
Yes.
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing that out. Not Catholic myself. So.
But, yes, they respect, the priests respect okay. your time today.
Well, happy Ash Wednesday. Be careful, depending on where you are in the sound of my voice. To the south and west of here, all the way down toward Cuba, there's some pictures of completely snow-covered roads. There are people getting a decent amount of snow, enough that they put a snow advisory in place in certain areas. So we've seen some blowing out here. It's blowing sideways. The wind is blowing so hard in downtown St. Louis right now. So be careful. Anything going on traffic-wise, Sue will keep you updated this hour. I promise you that. Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Taylor Riggs at the bottom of the hour about some of the president's economic proposals. She's, of course, with Fox Business Network. We love having Taylor on here. And Jeff Manasso is coming up next with the more on hearings that are being held over these close calls that we've had and even the deadly collision regarding air traffic controllers and the state of that business in the United States right now. We'll talk to Jeff Manasso in just a few minutes in the next segment. But first, we want to get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We must have legislation to secure the border, but it turned out that all we really needed was a new president.
Best line of the night, in my opinion, and he paused just the perfect amount of time before dropping it on their heads. I loved that. I thought the president did a great job, even if it was a little long. There you have it. The president getting a lot of interruptions last night for applause and chants of USA, mainly after the Democrats booed him when he bragged about his election.
We all know that our country is going through something right now. We're not sure what the next day is going to hold, let alone the next decade.
That is Alyssa Slotkin, a senator from Michigan, who they chose to give the response last night. And just like me, I had to look up her name this morning, and my guess is that will continue to be the case across America. Just so you know.
Sir, tell me one more time what you were shouting in the chamber.
That he has no mandate to cut Medicaid.
That's what you were saying over and
yes.
over. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
There you have it. That was Al Green. Remember Al? Al is, of course, the Democratic congressman who stood up waving his cane, making a complete butt of himself on the floor of the United States House yesterday. Remember how much they hated the Republican who stood up and yelled, liar, to Obama all those years? But he sat back down. I mean, he didn't stand up and wait for the sergeant at arms to have to be called in to basically escort him off the floor. So then Green went out and continued spewing the lies that Republicans are going to cut Medicaid. Well, a reduction in a planned outlay is not necessarily a cut. If you'll remember, under Obama, the only way they could get Obamacare to work, and it still doesn't, it only works if you don't. If you're not getting a subsidy because you're so low income that you need a subsidy, then Obamacare doesn't work. If you're shopping for it on the free market, you're paying through the nose. It's a problem. But in order to expand Obamacare and to get the coverage that people needed, they expanded Medicaid. And they tried to use that as additional coverage. And it put millions of people on Medicaid who wouldn't otherwise have qualified for it. So if removing those people who didn't qualify for it is what Al Green is talking about, then it absolutely needs to happen. The Democrats have never met a government program that they ever wanted to see get smaller. And in most of history, that has never happened. That's why so many people are caterwauling about what's going on out there right now.
Absolutely. I think that was a standout moment. And one of the other moments that really stuck out to me from last night's speech was Trump talking about how much money has gone to just ridiculous things. And it was funny because he would say something like a country in Africa. And he'd be like, no one's even heard of that. No one knows who this is. He was just so raw because I'm sitting there thinking, certainly that's not in the teleprompter. And Trump just, in true Trump fashion, ad-libs. But it's so relatable. Like, remember when he was debating Biden? And the funniest line to me was when he was trying to respond to what Biden says, and he's like, I don't know what he just said. I don't think he even knows what he just said, because right. Everyone's thinking it, and then he actually was the one bold enough to say it.
My favorite, and I wish I had the Biden here, of all the bites I picked out this morning, this is not one of the ones that's in here. He's going down that list of things that Doge has uncovered. And one of them is, like, I don't know what it was, $20 million for circumcisions in Mogadishu or something crazy like that. I mean, this is why the Democrats can never win on this issue. No sane human being who sees a huge portion of their income taken for taxes for the government to supposedly spend on them will ever think it's okay for a dime of American taxpayer dollars to be shipped overseas to any nation. Mm-hmm. For something silly like circumcisions or condoms or
anything. I mean, transgender mice. I don't know if that was in the United States. Maybe they were American mice. But, I mean, you hear the Democrats who are so angry at the homeless, or as they would call it, the unhoused issue. And I'm not saying that's not a problem that needs to be addressed. But why would they be angry about that? Why are they not angry, I should say, about that money being poured out to all these other countries for the dumbest stuff instead of being spent right here in the United States? Millions of dollars could have been used to help some of these people, help some of these homeless veterans.
I think that should be their new slogan. Let's spend it on something stupid in America. That should be their new slogan. Let's not waste our taxpayer money overseas. Let's spend it on something stupid in America. And I'm sure they can find plenty of stupid programs out there to twiddle our money away on, for goodness sake. They're never going to win.
And this is just scratching the surface of what Elon Musk and his team at Doge has uncovered. You know how much more? Trump even said last night, he goes, look, there's a lot more stuff that they've done that they've been able to cut. I didn't feel it was appropriate to even say it.
Some of it, yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure.
I mean, what was he talking about that he felt he could not say?
Wow. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Jeff Manasso of Fox News Radio. He's covering this story. There's going to be a hearing today in the House, same chamber that you watched the president speak in last night, on concerns over the nation's air traffic control system. Do you think about that when you board a plane? Every time you board a plane now? Because there have been some incidents here recently. What is driving this? Will they get any answers today? We'll talk to Jeff when we come back.
It started out with Al Green getting thrown off the House floor because he couldn't keep his emotions under control.
Then they had the ridiculous paddles, which now social media is roasting.
That you said false on one side.
Ridiculous.
Elon on the
other. Then finally, and maybe most terribly, the Democrats, who couldn't find it in their heart to stand for objectively good things, including the 95-year-old mother and Mark Fogel, who got rescued from a Russian prison, and they couldn't even stand up for that. I thought Democrats came into this speech lost and defeated by Donald Trump, and today it looks to me like they're even more lost and even more defeated than when this speech started.
Yeah, I tell you, I am tempted to start a Scott Jennings Bite of the Day segment, because every day he goes on CNN, where you know in one way they must hate it, but on the other side, he's probably the only reason they have any ratings these days. He goes on CNN and he roasts whatever Democrat they put on the panel with him. And yesterday they were talking about this situation with Al Green and the paddles they were showing last night. It was just he was talking about the fact that it was just a little embarrassing. They clearly made a decision in advance how they were going to react to those things. Speaking of reactions, have you had any reaction to all of the incidents that have kind of made headlines lately with airlines? I mean, starting with obviously the tragedy in Washington, D.C., but other close calls and all of that recently. And then, of course, allegations that air traffic control shortages might have had something to do with it. They had a hearing on all that yesterday. And Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio on the phone with us this morning. Jeff, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you, Mark. So the House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee on Aviation taking up those critical issues, air traffic control, staffing shortages, and others at airports nationwide. And as you mentioned, following multiple plane accidents and near collisions. And one of the people who testified, Heather Krause, she's the Managing Director of Physical Infrastructure and Government Accountability Office, and she says, You know, in each of the FAA's four critical programs, it missed many milestones, some by months, others by years. Critical programs that involve modernizing navigation and communication systems, something that you would think would be pretty important when it comes to aviation. And the hearing just a month after the deadly crash in Washington involving that military chopper in an American Airlines passenger jet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was wondering, did the whole, I mean, you know, the president brought it up, his concern that DEI had played some sort of role in I don't know, diminishing the abilities of the air traffic control system. Did this come up in the hearing yesterday, Jeff?
It did. I mean, so layoffs within the new, or at least the Trump administration's FAA, you know, you had people testifying on behalf of Democrats that saying, you know, if people are laid off because of DEI hires that they should have never been hired, then, you know, that's going to put, you know, the industry in jeopardy. And on the flip side, you know, there's still that ongoing lawsuit of qualified FAA officials, air traffic controllers that were never hired because they were white. And that's what the President Trump touched on last night, that, you know, everything's going to be merit-based, your qualifications, not the color of your skin, not your gender, going forward. But you know, in the short term, you've got Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy and even Elon Musk suggesting to bring back retired air traffic controllers and to raise the mandatory retirement age to mitigate some shortages. About 3,600 air traffic controllers short. Right now they have about 11,000 staffed nationwide, but this number has held for years. So the question is what's going on? Why are we hiring qualified air traffic controllers and what to do about it?
Yeah.
And of course, the committee chairman, Missouri Republican Sam Graves, said this topic really shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody, that our nation's air traffic control system is outdated and must be modernized to the benefit and safety of all users in the national airspace. And the White House now requesting Congress provide about $900 million in extra funding for the FAA to maintain those air traffic services and aviation safety oversight.
Yep, something we all depend on. I don't remember the most recent reporting on it, but did they ever determine if the fatal accident in D.C., if a shortage of staffing in the air control center played any role in that at all? I don't think they did they?
Well, that was an issue, but I don't think that they've come to a common denominator on exactly what went wrong. And obviously that's prompting more questions. Why don't we have more answers?
Right.
We'll see if we get them.
Very good. Jeff Manasso, appreciate your reporting, my friend.
You bet.
Yep, have a good day. Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio. What a great radio voice that guy's
got. That was the first thought that I had. It's so funny that you say that.
And he's always
good.
He's a big,
booming voice. Yes, he's always does
reporter.
A great job.
They
yes.
should Sunshine request. I don't know how stupid you'd be to put any of this stuff in writing about why you chose certain candidates. I'm sure it was just conversations in person. But someone should Sunshine that and just see what kinds of things were said. Or talking about any emails that were exchanged, talking about staff shortages.
Oh, and job interviews?
Well, yeah, anything like this, like yeah. with air traffic controllers, and I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's something that affects every single person that sets foot on an airplane, so that's why we're paying attention to it. All right. So what impact might tariffs have, or tariffs that are going to be quickly withdrawn have on the U.S. economy? We're going to chat with Taylor Riggs from the Fox Business Network when we come back.
But you have a new president, there's a new sheriff in town, and I would bet on the economic growth that is coming from Donald Trump. You see the investments. You see it already. There's trillions of dollars of manufacturing moving to America. It's moving to America. That means the cavalry is coming. For every $1 trillion that invests in the United States of America, that produces 1% of GDP growth. Imagine that. You have a president bringing GDP growth directly to his economy. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is Howard Lutnick there commenting on the president and some of the economic news that he kind of broke last night, maybe on tariffs, maybe on new tax cuts that he would like to give out there. Let's get to our friend Taylor Riggs with the Fox Business Network, the Big Money Show there. And Taylor, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, what do you think about what Lutnick had to say there? There's a new sheriff in town, and he thinks that even though Donald Trump is warning us, there may be a little bit of pain at first, just like last time, it's going to come back in spades.
Yeah, a little bit of an adjustment period. You've certainly seen that in the markets in the last 2 days, as I think businesses are trying to figure out, are we serious about these or are we not? I think Trump and Howard Lutnick have proven they are serious about these. Wall Street just wasn't listening. Wall Street probably thought he was bluffing or using it, you know, as a negotiating tool. But if countries aren't, you know, either stopping fentanyl at the border or playing fair, we want to level the playing field. And one way that Howard Lutnick and Donald Trump think to do that is to do tariffs. So, look, you know, I just got off set with a guest who is very pro-free markets. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have any tariffs. We wouldn't have any barriers, right? But we don't live in a perfect world. So if Europe is going to charge us a 10% tax on American cars, and we're only charging them a 2.5% tax on their cars, then yes, we say you either come down and meet us at 2.5% or we're going to come back up and meet you at 10% because that is only fair.
Right.
So I really like the idea of reciprocal tariffs where it is sort of just eye for an eye. I think the market in the last few days has really struggled with Canada and Mexico, for example. We negotiated USMCA. Now we're saying it's about fentanyl. We're also saying it's about steel and aluminum. We're also saying it's about leveling the playing field. And so I think Howard Lutnick is trying to do a good job of clarifying the why. Is it to level the playing field? Is it about fentanyl? I like the idea that this morning he was talking a lot about the reciprocal tariffs. I think that's what the market and what people understand. I understand the idea of a reciprocal tariff. That makes sense to me. I don't want to sacrifice my daughter and granddaughter's future because I want a cheap trinket from China.
Well,
let's start to level the playing field. And yeah, there's probably going to be a little pain, but we just came off of a 20% pain in the 4 years, and I don't have anything to show for it.
I mean, the stock market, like you said, it's kind of been up and down lately with some of these things that Trump has announced. But was I seeing that as of last night after Trump's speech that they've bounced back a little bit?
Yes. Yep. We just had the opening bell. Things are bouncing a little bit. And here's what I would remind us is markets are volatile and markets are not the economy. They're not Main Street. So when we get soft survey data that shows that companies are a little hesitant, that's one data point and the markets and the algorithms can sell off. But I really want to wait. We have a jobs day on Friday, right? This will be a first month for February that Trump's been in office. How are jobs doing? How does Main Street feel? We got an employment report this morning from ADP. It is a private payroll. It definitely was lower than expected, but some of the biggest gains in that were manufacturing and construction. So that's telling me that underneath the surface of overall headline, things are a little slow. Underneath the surface of manufacturing and construction is gaining. That's good. That means people are building homes. That means manufacturing is coming back. So I'm the one that follows Wall Street, but I also in times like this have to say, okay, we also just came off of 2 years of back-to-back double-digit gains. Let's take a deep breath and see how the markets can settle in. With tariffs, it's all about the duration that will really impact the market in the long run.
So Taylor Riggs, our guest from the Big Money Show on Fox, maybe you understand this at a deeper level than I do. I've been around a long time. I've heard of these trade issues and complaints before. How did the United States get into a situation, and I'm sure it's happened over years, where we allow countries to charge tariffs on our goods and we don't charge tariffs on their goods? Were we just doing them a favor at some point? Or, I mean, how did we allow ourselves to get to this point?
That's a great question. You know, I was watching a fantastic documentary on China where we in the 60s really opened up to them. And we thought, oh, if we open up to them, they'll believe in democracy and they'll play by the same rules that we do. And we learned in the following 40, 50 years, that's not it. That as we've gone from manufacturing to consumption, they've gone from manufacturing to advanced manufacturing. And so they're still exporting and all we are doing is consuming. So part of this has been a history experiment, particularly with China. In the last 50 years, I think we all went in and we thought if we open up, they're middle class, they'll be a democracy, they'll fight for their rights. Obviously, that has not been the case. They are very much a communist dictator country. And, so, Liz, it's been a learning lesson, I think, for all of us.
In Trump's speech last night, he talked about balancing the budget, which I think a lot of us would like. I don't know how possible that is. One thing he mentioned to help pay off the debt and to try to get things rolling was this gold ticket idea. And I think we've talked to you about this, but basically having the people who want to come over here from different countries pay this amount and then try to encourage college students to work and all the things. I mean, how effective do you think that could be ultimately?
Love this. And this has been a big champion from Howard Lutnick as well, who talked about it at one of the first cabinet meetings that we had with Trump a few weeks ago. And it was open to the press and we all listened in. Gold card is like green card, but better. So if you want to be, if you're the top student at Yale and you want to come and work here right now, businesses won't hire you because they don't know if you can stay here with a visa. That is absolutely the reason that why we have a brain drain. They then all go back to China, India, Japan and start their own companies based on the education that we've given them from our top universities. We want to keep that. That is the best immigrant where we want them to stay. They can buy a gold card, or if the corporation sponsoring them can buy that gold card, then they can stay and we can keep that talent here. So I love the idea of encouraging, again, more ideas about encouraging investment, encouraging some of the smartest, brightest, best to come here and open up some of the best companies.
Fantastic. I'm sure you'll be talking about this speech today on your show, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. Lots to unpack.
All right. Taylor, thank you.
Have a great day.
Yep, we'll talk again soon. Taylor Riggs there from the Big Money Show there on the Fox Business Network. And I think they recently expanded that show to 2 hours. So you can always check them out there. I think now from noon to 2, I think they're on there on the Fox Business Network. All right, good. Coming up, you know, Kim's been covering it in the news. We haven't really talked about it a lot. And that's the nastiness that is poking its ugly head up out in the Francis Howell School District with people
stealing signs of candidates they just don't like. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Welcome back. Candidates in St. Charles County dealing with a new hurdle while vying for votes. A thief stealing campaign signs is targeting the Francis House School Board race. Candidates tell us since Saturday, signs have been taken from four different locations throughout.
Yeah, Channel 4 reporting on this issue yesterday, and what a shame. This happened during several recent election cycles. It happened in St. Louis County. They had signs being torn down a couple years ago, and now it's happening. I know it happened in Rockwood a couple of years ago. It's not the conservative candidates and their supporters who were out tearing down the signs of the NEA-backed school board members. It's the radicals and the leftists and the insane people who are threatening to sue our school board members over bathroom policies and things like that, who can't stand that somebody has a different opinion than them, who've decided they're going to rob you of your rights to put out a sign supporting your election. It's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they catch them.
Yeah, they found clipped zip ties. So clearly somebody went and took scissors and just started snipping to be able to take the signs. I mean, she's saying these signs, one of the school board candidates, Ashley Sturm, a conservative, says the sign disappeared from four locations. And she made the point, and I agree with her, you know, it'd be different if like one sign was gone, maybe two, but we're talking about signs from four different locations. That is not, oops, it accidentally, I don't know what happened.
Down.
It blew down. We've had some crazy winds. That's just not it.
No. And the obvious thing, if you watch the story, maybe you'll see it. This particular version was on Channel 4. There are two signposts there, empty, right next to two other political signs. One of them is for the other two candidates for the same race. So it's painfully obvious. Now, the other side has denied that they would ever tell their supporters to do something like that. Wink, wink. How dare they suggest we would do that? And I'm not saying the candidates themselves did, but it's people who support that. And that's why you have to get out and vote for Randy Cook and Ashley Sturm if you're in the Francis Howe district coming up, because the other side hates you so much they don't even want your candidates to be able to go out and advertise for themselves.
Why are they such babies? I'm not saying that people on the right are not babies, but my gosh, like I think about what happened last night with Trump's speech. They wouldn't even stand up. The signs, they are babies.
Pick me. I know the
Mark,
answer.
Go ahead. Yes.
Because they've been in control for so long and they see that control slipping away. They control the mind of the superintendents and a lot of the educators, and the educators have put up their own slates of candidates who then go and control the board, and they don't want it any other way. They don't want anybody on the board that's going to question their mindset. Period.
Spot on.
And they can't stand it. They see it slipping away and they can't stand it. So vote in April and be sure you're voting for the conservative candidates. I'll be putting a voter guide out here to help you out here shortly, I promise. All right, just a quick reminder, there are VIP tickets left for Brian Kilmeade March 22nd. You can go to 971talk.com and find out more details. I'll be there. Annie and Mark will be there. We got a whole bunch of 971 people who will be there for the event and for the VIP event ahead of time. Those VIP tickets can be added onto your tickets if you already have them. Just go to 971talk.com to find out more details. Thanks to Bob and Tammy Kershaw for sponsoring this event. We love that. And, hey, have a great day. Kilmeade himself up right after the break.
Get more at 971talk.com.